think the expectations from particularly people outside the club has definitely risen. I think internally, I think the expectations of our performances throughout games, not so much the result, but the consistency of how we play, and the expectation has really risen in that area.
It's the voice of Nathan Jones, and just his thoughts on how the year's progressing at the moment. Paul Roos is the Melbourne coach, and he's joined us on Melbourne's Home of Footy. Paul, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
No worries, guys.
Paul, heartbreaker last week, a good win the week before. How have you rated 2015?
Yeah, I think, James, you sort of touched on it before. We're probably, you know, evolving as a team. You go from being probably non-competitive to competitive, and the next stage of it is talking about winning and doing that consistently. So that's probably the jump we're trying to make at the moment, going from a competitive team, and certainly the focus now is on how do you turn those competitive performances into winning performances, and that's the sort of discussion we're trying to have internally at the footy club.
Roosie, how many have you turned over since you've been there?
I think it's 22 offs, yeah, so it's a fair turnover.
You got a fair bit more to do?
Yeah, I mean, it always changes. You know what footy's like. I mean, one week your favourite player is your least favourite player, and then the next week it flips again. So, yeah, look, I think clearly we've made some really big changes to the list. We've been able to get some early draft picks as well as some experienced players in, like Bernie Vince and Heretia and Jeffy Garlett. So it's been a really good mixture. I think probably the next 8 weeks are going to tell a fair bit about how many more will go and how many... Yeah, we obviously need to continue to improve our list, there's no question. But the message to all our guys is if you keep on improving as an individual, hopefully you can stay around at the footy club. So if they don't keep improving, and that's probably the similar to Hawthorn and Sydney and Freo, you know, the top teams as well, I think they're the conversations that every club really has.
So winning games between now and round at the end of the season, round 23, is that more important or is development more important?
Well, I think you're able to do both. I guess it's more the conversations, Ox. It's sort of, I think, I mean, you're a Melbourne person. I think, you know, we've gone from being non-competitive to competitive. And then it's really more the mind shift. You know, I must admit, I was probably talking last year, guys, we need to be competitive. You know, now... I think players, when you're talking about being competitive, they look at the scoreboard and they sort of tend to think, oh, this is good. We're, you know, we're only 3 goals down and, you know, it's fantastic. Now, what we're trying to just do is more of a mindset shift to say, you know, you've got to play to win. And I know it sounds sort of simple, but it's still making sure you're reinforcing the habit. So I think it's a combination. It's just we've got to make sure we're reinforcing the habits that we think are going to make us a really good term in the long term. But not at the expense of the development and trying to get games into the guys that we feel are going to be really good long-term players.
Roosie Moons here. Bernie Vince, when you got him across from Adelaide, were you expecting the numbers that he's produced this year?
Yeah, look, I was a bit of a fan and I met Bernie years and years ago. We brought him up to Sydney when I was coaching the Swans and he got recruited to Adelaide. So I knew a little bit about him, but it's not until you probably work with someone and see them play on a weekly basis, as you would know, that you start to get a much better handle. Look, he's been a terrific player. You know, I think he was third in our best and fairest last year. And look, his last sort of 6 to 8 weeks have been exceptional. And he's playing on really high quality players in the opposition, keeping them to pretty low numbers and finding the footy himself. So, look, I can't speak highly enough of him. And he's one of those guys that, you know, really drives the club. You know, he's come from a really good footy club and he knows what it's like to win football games. And, yeah, he's certainly one of the greatest allies in that of the coaching group and really driving and pushing the group. But, yeah, I can't speak highly enough of him. He's been terrific.
Hey, Roosie, where's Mark Jamer at? Had 29 possessions, I think, in the reserves last week. Is he a chance of a recall this week?
Look, he was really good. I spoke to Rush in the last couple of weeks. I've been really pleased by his response. I mean, he's a senior player and sometimes they can get a bit down when they're not playing. We weren't unhappy with his performance early in the year. It was probably the fact that Max Gawn and Jake Spencer were just really bashing the door down at seconds level. So, look, if he continues that performance, he certainly puts pressure on the ruckman and puts pressure on Max. Obviously, Max is playing some pretty solid footy at the moment. But it's really important that Russian keeps playing really, really well. And I'm really pleased with his attitude. Yeah, it's been terrific.
Roosie, I know it's not as black and white as this probably is going to sound, but I just want to try and get a feel for your mindset. Are you thinking about going to the draft or picking up a ready-made players type thing next year?
Look, we're always looking at... I mean, we've got a lot of young kids, and I think it's not sort of as black and white as you mentioned, but certainly if there was another really good... A-grade player available, I think as a footy club, we'd definitely be interested in that particular player. at what you give up for it, at what expense. But you know, we just can't sit back as a club and let the top clubs pick the eyes out of free agency. Otherwise, I mean, they just keep getting better and the bottom teams just sort of stagnate. So it's certainly something we're really conscious of in list management meetings. But it's, you know, if a young kid's available, it's going to be a good player, as we saw with Petraka and Brayshaw. We're still certainly happy to take those early draft picks.
Roosie, Jeremy Howe. He can sit on heads. He can do a lot of things. But it'd be fair to say his form of recent has probably been below what he can deliver. Have you been disappointed with his season, or is he playing the role that you've asked? Where's Jeremy Howe at?
Yeah, probably a combination, Ox. We felt like he's played some really important roles for us, and probably externally people haven't seen that. That's understandable because no one really knows exactly. I was really pleased with him against Geelong. Felt on the weekend he went down back and actually was really important to us as well. But we're really working hard with Howie as he is on his game, and that's really important that we continue to develop him. But certainly it's been a mixed bag, and he would say that, but he certainly played some of the football we really want him to play, and we're just encouraging him and teaching him the way we want him to play, you know, week in, week out.
Roosie, how do we get rid of the congestion that is happening in our game right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, in my opinion, it should have happened 7 or 8 years ago, and I said this, I think last week, might have been on 360, I'm not sure, but I remember going to a coach association meeting years ago, and they talked about the congestion, and the coaches, I don't know if it was unanimous, but all said, well, why don't we throw the ball up? And I remember looking at I can't remember why, but I was watching Fox Footy, and there was an old State of Origin game, and it really struck me how different the umpiring was back then, and what was happening is a guy get tackled, within a second and a half, the umpire would blow the whistle, call the ball up, he'd run in, he'd grab the footy, he'd throw it in the air, and the ruckman could barely get there, let alone 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 players. But the AFL didn't want to do that. They actually wanted to maintain the integrity of the bounce. So then they started changing the rules, thinking that would get rid of the congestion. And now what we're seeing now is a guy gets tackled, he gets spun around 360, the ball spills out, someone picks it up, he gets... So by the time the actual umpire blows the whistle, there's about 12 players around it. So I don't have the answer for you now. I probably did have 10 years ago or 8 years ago, whenever it was. But my view is because of all these rule changes and the fact that they wanted to maintain the integrity of the bounce, I think now they actually are throwing it up. But it's so much has happened between that it probably now is not having the same result as it may have sort of 8 years ago.
Roosie, I'm sensing in your voice that you could fix things. You reckon you could fix things and make it a better looking game. Is that fair to say?
Well, what I'm saying is I think 8 years ago, I don't think the coaches' voices were valued anywhere near as much. And I think some of the rules, because we're seeing, and I know this criticism a lot by some commentators that are very prominent, the coaches want to, you know, they ruin the game, et cetera, and so forth. But I remember there was one rule that the coaches were actually involved in, and I think Georgie Stone was working with the Swans at the time. Neil Danaher was the CEO of the Coach Association. They went to Princess Park. There's about 4 or 5 coaches. It was the actual ruck rule, and they were going to bring in 3 ridiculous things. And so I actually went to Princess Park, and they tested it. And through the discussion with the coaches, they came up with what we have now, which was a really good compromise, less injuries, the medials, it was about the medial injury, et cetera, et cetera. But it's probably the only time that coaches have been engaged, through that early period. Certainly, I think that view has changed now a bit from an AFL, which is fantastic. And I think the relationship now with the Coaches Association, with the AFL, with Gill, is really, really positive. We had dinner with him the other week. So really, that's changed. But I guess what I'm saying is, when these issues came up about 8 or 9 years ago, the coaches weren't listened to. They were seen as sort of the enemy. And then things, I just think the coaches, in all parts, ex-players, whoever it is, need to be consulted. And then you come up with a really good outcome.
Roosie, we wish you well against Brisbane on Sunday, but also we'd like to congratulate you on the P-ball and a very funny commercial that's getting around Fox Footy at the moment. Well done.
Yeah, look, it's really important. I know that Danny Frawley, when he was at the Coach Association, really started with the health and well-being. Now Sticks Brayshaw, and the coaches are really happy to get involved. I think it's something that we probably take for granted, and Rocket and I are the ambassadors for the P-ball, and it's raising money for prostate cancer and awareness. And did a function, not a function, a media thing the other day with Parco, and he had prostate cancer. So, look, I just recommend the guys out there that are sort of 40, 45 plus to go and get your prostate checked, get your P-ball from Chemist Warehouse, whack it in the toilet, check your flow, boys, see how you go. And if you're struggling, go and check with the doctor.
It's funny, you know, I've been just checking my flow myself, just by myself, ever since I saw the ads going. I reckon I'm okay, but Roosie, but...
I think it's going to be good for my boy, because he can't see me there at this moment. Hey, Roosie, thanks.
Good luck.
Hey, thank you, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Good on you guys. Appreciate it.